Good morning, everybody. It's always good to come into Avant. Honestly, I love seeing your faces. I love being here with you guys. And it's an amazing thing this morning, obviously. It's one of the things that actually we'll be speaking into as well. That is leadership. That is a shepherd in the right shepherd that Christ actually calling for. Humbly before him. It's all about him. And they demonstrated that for us this morning. Perfectly well. You know, and I'll be talking into, you know, Jesus being the gate and inviting people to come in. And I recognize the fact that there are so many of us here that have been coming to church for a long time. So there might not be many new people here, but the opportunity is not just for new people to come into the gate, into the kingdom of God, but every one of us to step, come higher. Like, you know, Thomas said this morning about holiness. You know, that's what we're all striving to. You know, every day we're getting better, we're becoming more and more like Jesus. So if you hear me calling people in, but it might not just be, coming for the first time, it's coming higher, basically. So this morning, we are going to be looking at the I Am series. You know, Jesus made some powerful I Am statements. And in the last couple of weeks, I'm sure you've heard him make some powerful statements like, I am. You know, which is the same name that God gave the Israelites when he delivered and rescued them from the hands of Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And we've also heard him make statements like, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. Now, these are powerful statements. You know, but this morning, have I got the clicker? Thank you. So this morning, we would hear him talk about I am the gate, which is another life-changing, eternity-defining statement of Jesus. And if you have not listened to any of these other series, I will encourage you to go to wearegrace.uk to have a listen or our YouTube channel, because these are powerful, you know, resources that we have that you can get in and listen again and again. A message, because sometimes some messages you need to hear them again and again for it to actually really sink in. So it's all there for us to always go back to and so that we can listen. So if you hear the gates, if you think about the gates, what would you think about? What comes to your mind if you hear a gate? Open and close. Thank you very much. Absolutely. Access, excellent. Defense, absolutely true. So, the gate is very important from everything we've heard. So we can see that gates are very important. And I remember myself and Titi coming some years back, about, I think 19 years ago now, that we came into Chichester, and we were just at the city center. We're wondering what we're going to eat and looking around. And we're actually thinking of having a McDonald's at the time. And so we asked somebody, is there any McDonald's here? And somebody said, well, try Chichester Gate. And then I thought we looked at ourselves, like, oh, the city has got a gate. Do you know what I mean? So we went to the gate, and obviously there's no gate there, but it just gives us that, probably that's where the gates were back in the days where you had the city enclosed. You know, and like you rightly said, it gives access, defense, and all those things. That's why the gate was there for. So city gates are traditionally built to provide a point of controlled access to and departure from a walled city. And access for people, for animals, for goods, or even for vehicles. And they're usually heavily guarded. They're heavily guarded because if anybody have access into the city, they have access to everything that the city has got to offer. Or, like someone said, defense, or to actually cause damage to the city. And that's why those city gates are usually there. So the guards are there to make sure that they ensure that only the citizens actually have access to come in or to go out from the gates, or any other person that's got legitimate rights to come into the city. Any other person that knows he or she hasn't got access to that gate might try to come in through you know, the fence. And that person, obviously, at that moment in time, would be classified as an intruder, or in the worst case scenario, even a thief trying to come into where he's not been given an access. So this "I am the gate" statement of Jesus stresses that no one can enter the kingdom of heaven by any other means than Christ himself, who is the only gate of entrance, and so it reveals the exclusive nature of salvation. After all, Jesus did not say, "I am a gate." He said, "I am the gate." So let's read the passage from John chapter 10. So if you have a Bible with you, please open with me and let's read along. If you haven't got one, the passage is also displayed on the screen behind me. So we're reading from verse 1 to 10. So it says, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they would never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." Amen. Bold statements that Jesus made. Let us pray. Father Lord, I pray that indeed you open the gates of our hearts this morning and help us to receive this powerful statement and this teaching that you're giving us. After all, Lord, you said in your word, you promised us, O Lord, that a time is coming, and now it is, that our heart of stone shall be turned to heart of flesh, and that indeed you will no longer write your word in tablets, but on our hearts. Father, I pray that this minister to us through your Holy Spirit this morning, and that we receive your word, and we know the real reason why you've actually spoken this word over us. In Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus, in this passage, made it clear from the very beginning, from the word go, the first verse, saying, using an idiomatic expression, he relates us to sheep, and him as the shepherd, or as him as the gate to the sheep pen. He was basically saying that we, as sheep, can only come home through the gate. And if the gate recognizes us to be legitimate, then the gate will open to us and allow us in. Otherwise, we'll be regarded as thieves and we'll be treated as such. So Jesus is making a bold statement. And he's saying there's no other way in. And we hear all sorts of things out there. We hear all sorts of religion and all sorts of... But Jesus is saying there's no way to heaven. There's no way to the kingdom of God except through him. And he's using this analogy, he's using this idiomatic expression of a sheep that the sheep pen and the gate. So even though Jesus in this passage was speaking to the Pharisees, it would have been a massive shock to hear anyone. Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees, his disciples that were listening at the time, the message is also, he has applications and it's still very relevant to us today. The Pharisees were the leaders of the day. They were the ones that were supposed to shepherd the sheep, to care for the sheep, cater for the sheep, lead them on the good path, and protect them. But Jesus right here is saying to their very face that they were thieves, they were illegitimate, and they were not true shepherds. So you can imagine how the Pharisees would have received that. You know, as far as they were concerned, when you talk about legitimacy, look no further. they are the direct descendants of Abraham. Their forefathers received the Torah, which is the first five books in the Bible, and the rest of the scripture directly. So, and then this Jesus is standing before them and he's saying to them, they were thieves, they're illegitimate, they're not genuine shepherds. So you can imagine how they were feeling. But Jesus stood there and boldly said that to their face. Jesus was opening their eyes, and indeed our own eyes as well, to see that there's no other way to enter into the kingdom of God, or let alone even be shepherds or under shepherds in the kingdom of God, without faith in God. But it was saying that they can't come into the kingdom even by associations or by their birthright, because they were direct descendants of Abraham, does not qualify them to enter the kingdom of God. The only thing that qualifies anybody into the kingdom of God is faith and trust in him. Faith and trust in God and what he has done. Even their forefather Abraham did not achieve the righteousness that he achieved by the works he did. He achieved it by faith. Genesis 15:6 says, Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited to him as righteousness. So their forefather that they depend so much on didn't acquire or this status simply by the works he did, or because he was related to anybody, but simply because he had faith in God. But they had forgotten all of that. They were so proud of the fact of their heritage, which is fine. There's nothing wrong in being proud of your heritage. But it's understanding what the access, the way in to the kingdom of God is. The luster, it was more like, we are the Pharisees. I'm a Jew of the Jew, and all of those things, and they believed they could do, and they do all that they were doing. But Jesus was actually opening their eyes, that it is not by that you come into the kingdom of God, and it's just by faith in him. And Jesus is the chief shepherd, but there are others gifted and equipped to care for the flock as they follow him. So Jesus here is highlighting to his hearers and to us that the identifying mark of a true under shepherd or a pastor or an elder is that they must come to the flock through the gate. They do not climb in over the wall, because anyone who climbs in that way is regarded as a thief, as I've mentioned earlier on. Whoever comes in by that way has only come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And therefore, we should run away from such. So it's saying anyone who is an under shepherd must come in through the gates, must be a Christian. They must have a personal relationship with God before they can actually even have access to his sheep, because he, Jesus, is the gate. So I thought, for us to fully understand what Jesus meant by using this figure of speech, that he is the gate to the pen, or to the sheep pen, it's helpful for us to understand a little of that ancient culture, especially of sheep and shepherding. So I did a little research, and so I found out that of all domestic animals, sheep are the most helpless. The sheep will spend their entire day grazing and wandering from place to place, never looking up. As a result, they often become lost. And because they have no homing instinct like other domestic animals, they are totally incapable of finding their way home, even if it was right before them. So they need a guide and a shepherd to get them home. By nature, sheep are followers. If the lead sheep steps off a cliff, the others will blindly, or shall I say, faithfully follow suit. Additionally, the sheep are easily susceptible to injuries and are utterly helpless against predators. If a wolf enters the sheep pen, the sheep won't even defend themselves. They won't even try to run away or spread out. They will huddle together and become easy prey and therefore easily slaughtered. If sheep fall into a moving water, they will drown. And will not, therefore, they will not drink from any stream or lake unless the water is perfectly still. No wonder David said in Psalm 23, of this shepherd that leads the sheep beside still water. Now, there are typically two types of sheepfolds or sheep pens, the public sheep pens and the countryside sheep pen. I believe the countryside sheep pen is what Jesus was talking about in this analogy, because in the countryside sheep pens, the shepherds will keep their flocks in that sheep pen in good condition or good weather. And this type of sheep pen is nothing but just a pile of rocks that's built round with an opening right in front. And the shepherd will bring all the sheep in at night and then lay in front of that opening to keep the sheep safe and to keep any intruders or predators out, and literally becoming the gate to the sheep pen. And that's what Jesus was relating to. So he determines who enters and who goes out because of the love that he has for the sheep. So in this context, Jesus was telling us that he is not only the shepherd of the sheep, but also the gate to the sheep. The gate image highlights the exclusivity of access to the flock that Jesus alone provides. And it is very unlikely that Jesus only had in mind the Pharisees when he was talking about, when he was having this conversation, but for every other shepherd that would come. That's what Jesus had in mind when he was actually talking about these Pharisees and they've been illegitimate. And we can find a prophecy that's gone ahead regarding that as well, even in Ezekiel chapter 34. From verse 1, it says, "The word of the Lord came to me," this is Ezekiel speaking, prophesying, says, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the cords, clothe yourselves with the wool and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they are scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched and looked for them." Now, this is ahead of time. And that's because they did not come in. So you can imagine somebody that's trying to shepherd someone or shepherd a certain group of people, and he has no relation to the owner, the true owner of the sheep. He will do what he wants to do, which is what Ezekiel was saying here. And he's saying for true shepherds, one of the things you get to know of a true shepherd is that they look up to Jesus. They look up to that chief shepherd for direction. They look up to him for every dealings they're going to have with the sheep. They look unto him to receive directions and purpose and where they're going to lead the sheep. So Ezekiel went on and he talked about that God will remove such shepherds from their positions. But so aren't we glad that we have good shepherds in English church? Like what nicely demonstrated this morning. You see, humility is very important in leadership. When you know actually you're not the one in control, that God is the one who's put you here, and he's the one that's guiding you, and therefore you're looking to him to be able to lead the sheep. I don't know if you remember the story of Solomon. When Solomon became the king of Israel after his father David died, we all talk about Solomon, about how God blessed him and all those things. But the reason that blessing came was that he went before God and he worshipped God with their tradition at the time, killing all sort of rams and all of that. But God was so moved and he asked him, "Okay, what do you want that you've done this?" And he asked the right question. He didn't ask for his own life or for riches, which God eventually gave him, but he asked that, God, you will give me the grace and the wisdom to lead your people. He's saying it was all about you, God, and your people. And therefore, God said, wow, that is amazing that you asked that. Well, I'll do that for you because that is my plan. That's my will. That's my purpose for you. But I'll give you lots more because of that. And he gave him all that we talk about. But yeah, and there he obviously, he did great things. He was a wise king. And the rest of the story, I'm sure you know. If you want to read that, it so that is what God is saying here. That this gate is not just for the sheep alone. I am the gate, but it's also for those who will be called to be leaders, to be elders in church, that we should, even as sheep, as we describe as sheep, that we get lost, we need a shepherd. So therefore, he gives us under shepherds. But he's saying those under shepherds are genuine under shepherds, that we should be able to know them as well. Because if we truly belong to God, when we see somebody that is not of God, we can as well tell. Because the language of the speaking will be different from our language. He says the voice that will recognize. He's talking about his voice, but also the under shepherds, those that he's called to lead under him, that we would recognize the voice because they will be speaking of Jesus. And if they're not, so again, I say this because I know a lot of us quite listen to YouTubes and all of those things, and that some people I actually have conversations with. We hear so much message on YouTube, and sometimes it's confusing. Sometimes some of them are not right because you don't even have a relationship with those people you're actually watching, quite a good number of them. And we can hear he's saying it's about relationship. He's saying for those who will be on the shepherds, how you will know them is they will have personal and living relationship with Jesus. And that will translate in the things that they do. And therefore, we will recognize that as well. Because when we see them, we see Jesus. And therefore, we know these are the ones to follow. But sometimes, just binge. Oh, okay, well, I like that topic. But I say to quite a lot of people, there are different families, just like there are different churches. It's good for you, for us to stay in our family. Because some family can be rejoicing right now. Some family might be in a different season. But we want to binge sometimes on YouTube, and we want to join those rejoicing morning, and then we're lost, and we're confused. But then if we stick with our family, we rejoice when we rejoice. We pray together when we pray together. When we cry, we cry together. Like somebody said this morning, even when we're praying. So that way, we are on a journey led by Jesus, following by the leaders and the elders, and we follow through, and then we arrive at our destination. And God will continually help us in Jesus' name. Amen. So, how is this applicable and relevant to us today? Firstly, Jesus being the gate means that God has graciously provided a way of salvation for all sinners. Through Christ, the barrier between God and man has been removed. The bridge over the divide has been provided, and the way into the family of God, the flock, under the good shepherd, Jesus, is wide open. Anyone who enters through Jesus, anyone who enters through these gates by faith in him alone, not by works or by association or by personal merit, but by trusting in the finished work of Christ on the cross. This gate is not locked or hidden. It's wide open. Christ himself invites us to come in. He says to everyone, every weary soul, come to me and be welcomed in. Believe in me and I will receive you, love you, and let you in, and never let you go. Through Jesus, we find forgiveness, we find peace, we find eternal security. In a world that is full of spiritual confusion and false prophecies, Jesus stands as the one true entrance into the abundant life he alone can give. That's why he said, those were thieves, they've come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it to the very full. Secondly, Jesus being the gate also speaks to the authority and the authenticity required for those who serve in his name. Anyone who desires to lead or to teach or to shepherd God's people must themselves have entered through Christ. That is why they must genuinely be converted, they must genuinely be called and commissioned by the Lord. No one has the right to minister to the flock apart through Jesus. If a person climbs in some other way, bypassing the transforming work of salvation in Christ, he is not a shepherd, but a thief and a robber who has come to endanger the life of the sheep. So, true under shepherds are appointed by Christ. They enter by him and serve under his authority. For his glory, Jesus as the gate not only grants access to salvation, but also governs who may serve in the church. So it is good for us to know that. He alone is the rightful gatekeeper of the fold, ensuring that those who care for his sheep do so in his name, in his spirit, and by his authority and his will. So in both salvation and service, Jesus is the only gate. Through him, we are brought into the safety and joy of God's flock. And through him alone, others are called to lead and to teach and to care for the flock in faithfulness and in truth. So when Jesus says, "I am the gate," he is reiterating the fact that only through him is salvation possible. This is far removed from many things that we hear. Some popular teachings are there. Some teach pluralism of many gods. No, there's only one God. And Jesus is saying that here. Some would teach universalism. Oh, there are different ways to God. No, no, no. Jesus right here is saying there's only one way in, and it's through him. Psalm 118 from verse 19 says, "Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter." That is the only gate of the Lord, through which the righteous can enter. So in conclusion, Jesus being the gates separates the truth from false. He says in verse 1, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber." So Jesus is saying there's only one legitimate way in. Anyone trying to bypass him, any false teachers, anyone teaching self-righteousness or other religions, is not leading people to life. And in this, Jesus is warning the flock that not all who sound spiritual are leading to God. There's a lot of people out there that speak Christianese. They've been around church. They know the lingua, but they are not Christians. So he's telling us to be aware. The way to be aware is you can see them by their fruits, you shall know them. The gate recognizes and protects the sheep. Verse 3 says, "The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice." The sheep knows the shepherd's voice because there is a relationship. There is trust. There is security. It's because you have a relationship with Thomas and Bishop. That's why we could do what we did this morning. It's all about relationship. And it goes back to all the things sometimes that we listen to that I talk about. You don't even know them. And sometimes we listen to the things they say, we hear, and sometimes they speak some things that are not so right into our lives. Jesus doesn't let us in. He knows us personally. He calls us by name. And when we enter through him, we are safe, we are seen, we are protected. Just as a normal shepherd will stay, like that illustration I gave you, will be by the gate and allow all the sheep in and inspect each one as they come in every night. And if anyone that needs treatment, he will treat them. And he will then sit at the gate to be the entrance, to protect them in and to not allow any predators to come in from the outside. Jesus is exactly that to us. And anyone that believes in him will also react and relate to people in the same manner. The gate leads to abundant life. It says, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. The enemy has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to kill and finally destroy. That's his plan. But Jesus says, I came to give you life, full and free and forever. This isn't just about getting to heaven someday. This is about living with purpose, with peace, with power today. Because abundant life is knowing you are loved, walking in truth, living it with eternal security, knowing that heaven is yours, bearing fruits for God's kingdom. People are moving just here because they want to see the kingdom of God increase. You're here because you want to see the kingdom of God move in this land. That is abundant life. If the band can please come up. So Jesus stands before every one of us today. And he says, I am the gate. Come in. Be saved. Find life. So I ask you today, if you're here today, you're yet to actually come into the fence. Maybe you're sitting around. You might have been around church for a long time. But you've not made that step, personal step, to come into the gate. Jesus is calling you in this morning. And the gate also means for any one of us that probably think, well, I actually want to rededicate my life again. I want to actually closer walk with Jesus. I want this holiness that Thomas was talking about this morning. I want to be more holy like him. The Bible says, be holy, for I am holy. Again, this is the call for everyone this morning. So I encourage you not to stand outside the gate. Please don't try to climb it over the fence or another way. There's only one way in. Jesus, he himself declared it, that the only way in is through him. There's no other way. No matter what it is out there, no matter how sweet, there's only one genuine way. Believe in the Lord and you will be saved, the Bible says. Anyone who believes the Lord Jesus and repents of his sin is assured of being in the fold. Jesus is the gate. We're going to take communion very soon. But before we take that communion, so if anybody would like to make that bold statement and want to do, you can come out, we can pray together so that we can all take communion together. Because communion, again, which is beautiful, is demonstrating that which we believe in, what he has done for us, and that we are partaking of him, of his body and of his blood, and declaring that we truly are his sheep. But for us to do that, we have to come into the gate first. So that opportunity for anyone that would like to do that is open. Before I call Thomas, that will lead us in communion.